When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cool beans, cool beans.
All right, hot beans,
professor.
Hot soup. I think that's, I'm quoting the hot pink thing.
Yes.
And at some point I've turned it into soup.
Yeah.
Hot soup.
Hot pink.
Someone else has got to have played that game.
The Crayola.
The Crayola paint bucket game, paint basically. Bucket.
Yeah, yeah. It's just basically like, here's a digital coloring book with the fill feature. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. Print out lots of copies. Everything's sort of 3D.
Yeah. Big Ink had a hand in that one for sure. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and... Wow, my brain totally...
How many times have you been the host?
And I am your host. You're with me today. It's my brother Dave. We'll be in every episode.
This is what you guys are voting for.
Oh, okay. Man.
Wow.
Literally. Okay. Wow. I think it's because I kid you not, Jay. I woke up this morning and I feel like I you know, it was like one of those like spring in your step types of mornings. I woke up early. I had the coffee prepped. Like I had a restful weekend. I was literally so excited to be like, Jay, I feel like I'm feeling good today.
Yeah. You woke out of bed and you were like, let's go.
It's like, this is just... Yeah, because it's a rare occasion, but I think I'm getting better about it. But like on the weekends, I am usually determined to exhaust myself in some way, shape, or form. It's like, hey, this is free time. Let's use that being extremely busy somehow.
Yeah.
And this weekend, you know, it was busy. Had things going on, but I think I'm getting better and better, especially like in the space of the holidays, where like, you know, big momentous occasions are like right there on the horizon.
Yeah.
Of just like sort of like letting myself like take a few steps backwards and just like chill.
Just chill, man.
And so, but this is always my issue. Like when we go on like a vacation, like even going to Disney World, which is so much fun. Like you don't get home from Disney World and be like, ah, what a restful vacation.
I am ready to hit the ground running tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, but there is occasionally I'll find it. Like if I'm in Vermont or, you know, at the beach, I feel like probably at the beach pre having kids.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be this sort of like I would get away from the stresses of like the day-to-day life enough to like where my brain would start like all of a sudden being like, oh, you have so many ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it's like let's go with this. And I think I'm even getting better at recognizing when my brain does that, like when it's rested enough to start doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost being like, no, Ben. Take a few steps back. When you're busy, your bandwidth is overly exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't add more things. It's okay. But like, good to know that you have reached the stage where your brain is starting to hum a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I it feels like, so you feel like you're at like a healthier mental state here as of late?
I think, yeah, I would say so. I think. doing, do you disagree?
No, I do agree.
You're a fly on the wall of my life.
No, there have been several things in particular that I have noticed about you in the past just month that have been like very like subtle, but like, I feel like Ben's like in a good place sort of thing.
Finding my old self again.
So there's a couple of things. Two of them are going to be related to football.
But okay.
Like one, there was a day earlier this season for Virginia Tech when they just like destroyed Boston College.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun to watch. I love beating Boston College. Fantastic game.
Look, here's the thing. Yeah. I feel like for years and years and years and years, watching the Hokies has largely come down to like, it's like they win nail biters. I mean, it makes every game fun to watch, but like rarely are you watching them like step in and just sort of like put on a clinic against the other team where there are sacks and interceptions and long passes and, you know, like all the fun stuff that you want to see your team do. And it was just like, there was no penalties. It's just amazing. Anyway, yeah. So,
it was fantastic. You're right. And, but like the, what was surprising to me about that was like, you came in Monday morning and it was like, you were in such a good mood because the Hokies won. And it was like, I don't know if you noticed it, but like, I noticed it. And I was like, I can't believe the hangover effect of the positivity from that football game was something I hadn't like seen on you in like years.
Yeah.
Which like, I was just like, I love how much Ben is enjoying this victory.
Especially when we ended the season, like 6-6 or something, you know, it's
bowl
like,
eligible.
That's
Ben.
All. Yeah. Right. That's all.
We ended the season and dare I say stomping the Cavaliers, which let me tell you, if there's a team I enjoy beating more than Boston College, it's UVA.
Yeah.
Like that is always because like for, and I will say this is going to, it sound like forever, especially like in the early days of Facebook or like when you were, when I was at Virginia Tech, like it didn't matter. You could win every game of the season, but if you lost against UVA at the end, that was all you were going to see on your newsfeed for 12 months. And it was just like the atmosphere that created the tension around that game, because there was like that rivalry sense about it. Like, it doesn't matter how good each team has been all year, sort of all bets are off. And I say that, that's like, if you look at the data, it's very not true. Like, Tech has won 15 of the last 16 games, you know?
Right. Yes. Yeah. But that means that even makes it worse sometimes, because then it's almost like I think, you know, so for in-state rivals, for what it's worth,
yeah,
you know, it's like then when you do pull off the victory, it's like it's so much sweeter for
UVA when they win. Like,
let me just say though, because I think like this is like one of those things where I have for a long, long, long time, I have speculated on this particular phenomenon, but like, I know people are committed very frequently to like their alma maters or, you know, like their college team, you know, like whatever. Like I know that this is not like unique necessarily to where we live, but Virginia doesn't have pro sports.
Yeah.
You know, like DC gets to like sort of encompass, you know, it's sort of like our
you're right. Like bandwagon onto the Washington teams.
Yes, exactly.
And like, yeah. I think, but even this speaks to how a non-entity it is, but I think Virginia Beach has an NBA team, like the Pelicans.
Do we have an NBA team?
Let me look it up.
Let me look it up. Please do.
Hold on, because I know.
Because here I am learning this for the first time ever.
I'm sorry. I'm like, now I'm going to feel dumb if we don't. But, you know, if we do, they're not. Where on earth is the internet button on this iPad? Okay.
Let me know what you got.
Pelicans, NBA. Everyone's like, you guys are the worst. I'm sorry. It's the New Orleans Pelicans.
Wow.
Is there a Virginia Beach NBA team?
I quite frankly, I feel like our like little brother just moved out to that area. It feels like he would be all about it if there was. But.
Well, I know that's what that immediately I thought about that. And I was like, I'm pretty sure since he's moved out there, he's bought tickets to a Wizards game, which would seem like the less convenient team to go see.
It would feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Doesn't look like it. No. Why don't I think this? Was there one?
I don't know. And you, I mean, it was one of these things where I was like, well, here I am about to complain about Virginia not having any pro teams.
No. Okay. Sorry.
You're out.
No, there's none. Sports teams in Virginia include several professional teams, but no professional major league teams. So, okay. Yeah, there are no major league sports in Virginia. Don't mind me thinking the Virginia Beach Pelicans were a real team for a second there. Don't know where I got that idea.
That's okay.
At all.
But so the resulting phenomenon, and this is me attempting to appeal to the people who absolutely do not care whenever we mention, you know, college football. But like the what I think is more interesting if you zoom out and try to observe. So one of the cool facets of being a Virginia Tech fan is that it is a terrible location for away teams to have to come and play. Like Virginia Tech doesn't make many of like the top 10 lists for like what it does in terms of like collegiate sports and stuff like that. But the list it always makes is best entrance, where they run into Enter Sandman by Metallica, yep, which is just epic and everybody's jumping. And then otherwise it is like 60. I feel like the number is always different. The number I know is 67,000 people, almost always a sold out crowd, and just like inexplicably loud.
The atmosphere at Virginia Tech always makes the top 10 lists.
Yeah. So like the number of false starts for the opposing offenses is usually like kept on the Jumbotron, like letting us know like how many we've achieved in today's game.
Right.
Just like it's like we're so loud that like sometimes like the center can't hear the snap count.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, yeah, this is awesome. So it's like there's a lot of like festivity around it. Like to go to a game is like a really big event. Like tickets are, you know, it feels like are sold or given away at like every like major, you know, nonprofit related gathering type whatever. So there's a lot of like hype and excitement around it. And I think that a huge part of it is just simply because like we don't have anywhere else to direct our efforts. So like our attention is not split between like our hockey team and the collegiate sports and our you know, like NBA team or, you know, the like whatever NFL team or something. So what you end up with is just people being hyper invested in this like in-state rivalry. And
right. But because it's college and it's like football is like the most popular sport, it's like if you, like basketball, like the other sports then are like, it's not that people don't follow like UVA basketball, which is usually pretty good, or Tech basketball, which is like on the rise. Or even like JMU football did really, really well this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Liberty as well.
Or Liberty's about to get destroyed on New Year's Day playing Oregon.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. But anyway, the thing is, like, because it's like it, like there's no professional sports team, but so since Virginia Tech has been like the premier football program in the area for so long, and because like the other ones don't like rise up, it seems like it's not even that you're not sharing competition with like others, like other professional sports teams, you're not even sharing competition like with other sports.
This is the
thing to focus on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so everybody does.
And everyone does.
You know, so it's like I've always wanted for us to sort of have like a team that like we could really like rally behind, you know, and sort of be like, oh yeah, like I just have like an absolute and unequivocal, unconditional love for, you know, the Virginia Pirates.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So to speak. Definitely not the Ninjas, but the Pirates.
You know what? I would be so on board if the Virginia Pirates were just there, and I would be like, yeah, let's go. I'm in. But you're right. And like the you know, it's frustrating because the Commanders have been there, like they're around. You could be a big fan of them if you want to, but then it's like the entire time we've been alive, they just have not been good.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you know,
not
and
at
it's
all.
So frustrating because like historically they were. There was a period of time where they were. But like in the last, I don't know, 23 years, they had one season with RG3, this like phenom quarterback who got injured during the postseason, and that was it.
Yeah.
And otherwise it's like, and it's so frustrating because like this past weekend, so to bring it full circle, I was talking about the positivity you had from the Virginia Tech win over Boston College. And I was like, it's like, it was so fun to see you so happy about it. But then like, I feel like just periodically over the past month, you'll just like start talking about football games you were watching. And it's like, you have not really done that a whole lot in the past, like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. No.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's comforting to me that you are like enjoying something what almost has to be like by yourself, like just for pure interest in it. And it's like yesterday you told me like, oh, did you see the Commanders get destroyed by the Dolphins? Which I was like, it made me so happy that you like knew and I didn't. And I was like, cause like it occurred to me that like, oh yeah, there was football on today. But even that just, it was like, It is frustrating to me with the Washington football team because like it was like, oh yeah, they played the Dolphins. Of course they got destroyed. The Dolphins are pretty good this season. And it occurred to me that like when I was in college, the Dolphins, I want to say, went on like had a season where they were like 0-15 or something.
Yeah.
They have been on some terrible, they have been the worst team in the NFL in the last 10 years. And it's like, but now it'd be like, oh yeah, the Dolphins, good team.
Force me
to reckon
with, yeah.
But you know what? And it's like, yeah, they've done the thing. They've been at the bottom. They've come to the top. It's like, but Washington does not seem like they can get their act together ever in this regard. They've been, there's 32 teams. They've been like between, I don't know, 22 and 28 the entire time I've been alive.
Pretty much. Like, yeah. Never so bad as like earning the reputation of like the worst team in the league or anything like that. But like, definitely, you know, even that, like I watched The Good Place earlier this year, and one of the characters on The Good Place has got this like absolute love for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
right?
Which is like the most hilarious. Like now, again, same as the Dolphins. Like they're good this year, but like the inside of the show, it's sort of like the running gag is like of all the teams for this person, right? Like, it's like why?
Like no, like, no one is a dedicated diehard Jaguars fan because there's like, no reason to be.
That's the joke. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's been definitely like, you know, it's been fun throughout the season, and it always does blow my mind a little bit how, because this was always true, I think, even going back to like middle school, like where I remember my like across the street, you know, neighbor, and like everybody who waited for the bus with me, you know, was all fans of like different collegiate teams. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, you would kind of go out there in the morning and everybody would always try to like, you know, rag on Tech because I was the only like Tech fan or whatever in the lineup.
Sure.
And you know, like you get out there and everybody be sort of like, oh yeah, did you see, you know, blah blah blah, and it was just sort of like I don't know, it
yeah, but just like, some general smack talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, you know, I used to like be able to put so much emotion into it, and for better or for worse is really what it came down to, where like I loved watching them win so much, but it meant that like if they did lose, it could like ruin a week for me.
Sure.
You know, and it was just sort of like I was, but at the same time, like this is also something I miss is like, you know, it's almost like how like when you're an adult, like you might ask the question like, when was the last time that you ran as fast as you can?
Right.
And it's like, and like it may be more frequently than never, but like I bet for a lot of adults, you're sort of like, when was the last time I just went and like ran as hard as I could, like full blown
like
sprinted. Yeah. Just like, just gave it my all. And I think the same is true with like raising my voice, which is just something that like, I don't do. Like, I mean, like I never raise my voice mm-hmm. over anything. Like I it's just not really who I am. I don't think it's like, it's not a big part of my personality. But like when I go back to like my high school self and maybe a little bit in college, like I used to be able to like yell at the TV while watching football.
Right.
And it was sort of like, you know, whatever, you know, pass interference call that the ref made or whatever, it was like, of course it was bogus. And of course I'm going to be like, come on ref, you know, like, and it was like such a great way for this like emotion to just like pour out of me.
Yeah.
And now I think a lot of times, like even now, as invested as I can get, like, you know, it's like if I see like a pass interference call, I'm like, yeah, I can see it. I can see it. You know what? The ref, I don't want him to be receiving hate right now. You know, like, mm-hmm. I feel for the referee out there. He's got to make some tough calls.
No,
it can't be easy. But you know, I do miss that. And it kind of goes back to, the quote we had, which I think I horrifically butchered which Pope I attributed it to. And now I can't once again, remember what it is, but like of all the unimportant things in the world, football is the most important.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, which is a quote that I heard from, oh my gosh, what is the chain here? I think from Ryan Reynolds, who heard it from John Green, who had originally heard it from the Pope.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a Pope quote, which I'm like, it's like the Michael Scott, like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Michael Jordan, Michael Scott.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm doing like that thing there. But it's like, I do think this year in particular has been a really big one where I've been able to, truly and completely like embrace the sentiment where it's like, I can watch these things. I can enjoy them. I can feel invested while also knowing that like at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Like the turning of the world is not impacted. The biggest issues that we face as a collective, you know, humanity are not impacted one way or another by like the outcome of this game. But like on some level, it's like I can still emotionally like use this as like a place to like store and output all of these other things I have inside of me.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So it's just been quite enjoyable.
Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay. So anyway, speaking of this past weekend though, we also had, sort of a neat nostalgic occasion, which is that your son, Luke, has celebrated his sixth birthday party.
He sure did at
Chuck E. Cheese.
At Chuck E. Cheese. Yes, he did. So yeah, I mean, I remember as a kid going to, you know, just, tons of birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it was the place to be.
The classic locale.
Yeah. And it is so we went there and it's the first time I've been there in, you know, over a decade. And this is like the first like real birthday party we've had for any of our kids where it was like we're going to a place, we're inviting friends, it's like a whole party. It's not just like, yeah, we got all the relatives together and we, you know, we had cake, but it's more for the parents because the kids aren't really going to remember it, kind right. of thing.
Yeah, it's like one of those where I found like a lot of the gatherings we've had for Addie, it's like I still have a cooler full of beer,
right,
you know, and it's like sometimes I'm like, should I have a cooler full of beer at a child's first oh no yeah
that's
party?
Not going away for sure. I think yeah, that's right. gonna, you know, as long as, especially as like, I think eventually these like birthday parties are gonna like start migrating to your house and it's gonna be like, well, yeah, definitely all the parents are gonna sit around and be like, okay, they're over there playing, where the parties are like as much for you to hang out with your other parent friends.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Good opportunity. Yeah, anyway, continue.
But anyway, so we're at Chuck E. Cheese and they have, I guess, renovated and like completely redone it. Cause I remember when we were kids, I remember it being like a very dark kind of place. Like there was low lighting, so all the things lit up, and then there was like this whole stage area with the animatronics on it,
right,
that put on the, you know, quote unquote show, and they were like sort of perpetually broken and definitely had some creep factor.
Yes. It reminded me a lot, if you've ever seen the Goofy movie, of like the possum side, yeah, like, you know, like they pull over, you know, Goofy and Max pull over on the side of the road and these possums are performing and they're animatronic, but like similarly, like very creepy and very broken.
Yeah.
And Max hates it. And yeah, it's like, even as a kid, I feel like you would go and it was like half the kids were like sort of terrified.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like, okay, I'm here for the cake, but like, can I just like shield my eyes?
Now watch
like
this. The, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but all, I feel like the creep factor on the, like, when you think about like the game Five Nights at Freddy's, it's like the reason that game is successful and the reason it found a place at all is because the animatronics at Chuck E. Cheese are scary.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it is like a directly like leaning into that fear for so many people, or just like that creep factor. And it's just like ramping it up to 10 and adding jump scares.
There's
tons of, you know, lore and stuff into Five Nights at Freddy's and stuff that I'm not super aware of. I haven't played the game, but it's like the fact that that game exists is directly related to Chuck E. Cheese. And like, it's so funny, if you go there now, like, that doesn't exist anymore.
No, it's like bright and airy and yeah, like light and colorful and clean. And
yeah, it was very clean. And like, there's no animatronics. It's just at some point, you know, Chuck E. Cheese comes out like in the mascot costume or whatever.
Yes, which yeah, they have also corrected in such a massive way. So I can't even tell. Like, I was having like a very positive experience at Luke's birthday party. And I can't tell if, because like, even on some level going to it, I had like a little bit of apprehension myself.
Yeah.
About being like, I'm about to go back into the lion's den.
Right.
Like, who knows what's going to happen? Like, maybe that, like, that Chuck E. Cheese head's going to like pop off and like sparks are going to fly, or who knows what, you know? Like, but yeah, I sort of had it in my head like, this could be like intimidating, but no. So then they got the mascot that comes out and they've like completely like redesigned the character, so it's like much sweeter looking, much more adorable,
yeah,
more approachable. Which I have to say, like, you know, this is one of those things where Addie, at this point in time, I'm trying to think of how many times, I think she's at least twice, she's gone to Disney at least two times. I'm trying to think if there's a third time in there that I'm like completely missing out on. But she's gone at least two times, and so far at the parks, you know, it's she's been so young that like she hasn't really been able to take in any of it. But while she was there, you know, at Chuck E. Cheese, I do feel like she was. And then like, you know, Chucky walks out and is like there for like a photo op and stuff, and Addie is like at one point in time, like the sole child, like standing before Chucky, like watching like the whole thing unfold, and she's just loving it.
Yeah,
it was, oh man, I thought it was so cute, and it filled me with so much excitement for like everything that is to come.
I know, I was like, I was watching her do that, and I was like, dude, we're going to Disney World here soon, and like a cruise, and there's gonna be characters everywhere, and I'm like, I'm so excited just to watch her interact with the characters, because she's at such a good age for it, and there's going to be so many characters she's going to get to interact with.
Yes, I think one of our dinners is like a Frozen themed dinner, and she's all about Elsa and Olaf at the moment. So yeah, I think she's just going to absolutely lose her mind.
To love that. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. So overall, I thought Chuck. So it wasn't just that, like the airiness and the cleanness and the lightness and the redesign. They've also like changed the way in which you can like play the arcade games and stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like, I've been to a bunch of like kids arcades and stuff, and they sort of have just sort of like the other places have updated the old format in terms of like getting rid of the tokens or the quarters and just like putting stuff on a card.
Yeah.
But it's still very like pay as you go. Like, yeah, put in, you know, $5, get, you know, 20 tokens or whatever. And that now it's just on a card instead of having a physical thing. And instead of having physical tickets, it just goes to the card. But like they had updated it here to the point where at least for the party, like you had just unlimited plays on the cards. Like you just sort of pay up front a set amount. And then it's just like, yeah, let the kids run around, scan their card as many times as they want. And then what I guess they've done is just like scale down the amount of tickets you can win per thing.
Sure.
Which like doesn't matter. So if you get like, you know, 6 tickets, it's suddenly like, that was a lot of tickets.
Right.
But, or I don't know, a lot. It doesn't really matter. The point is, like, I remember being there as a kid and like feeling like the stress of like, I've only got like, you know, 7 tokens left. So I really have to like pick and choose what games I want to play very carefully.
And you're always trying to balance the like what is the ticket potential from this game versus like how much of like a gameplay experience am I going to get? Like for me, yes. I would not play any games that didn't offer tickets. Like, like I'm never wasting a token.
Oh yeah.
Even if it meant like, oh, you get to go and play this one for like 3 to 4 minutes. It's like, no way. I'm not doing that. Like,
right.
You know, if it doesn't give you tickets and then you want something that's going to give you like at least, you know, hopefully 8 plus tickets per token injected or whatever. So you want to be able to like, you know, rack some stuff up. There's like the game where like, the spinning light goes around in circles. And if you can like nab it right at the right moment, like you win 75 tickets or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Jackpot.
But that's the type of thing where it's like you play one token, you press one button, game over.
Game over. Put yeah. The game takes 3 seconds.
Yeah. And that's it. So let me just explain to you the trauma response that I was having when I got there. And, you know, you or Beth come over and you hand me like the scan as you go card or whatever. And I went to ask Beth and I was like, oh, hey, wait, Beth. And then somebody grabbed her and like she walked away and I was like, how does it work?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because like, and so like I'm sitting there and like, you know, Addie's going over to like all the, they're like little, I'm going to put big air quotes around rides, but you know, it's like a convertible car that you can go and like touch the thing to, and like the car like gently like rocks back and forth or whatever. So within the first like 5 minutes, I've scanned my card on this thing.
Yeah.
Like 6 times.
Right. And you're just like, now look, Addie, not for nothing. I'm sure you're having a blast, but like if we just wasted 6 tokens so you could rock back and forth, we're at 0 tickets right now.
We're at 0. Understand? It's like, we are not accumulating any wealth over here. None whatsoever. Like when it comes to eraser time, we're not getting any erasers.
We're not getting any.
None.
You know, we might not even be getting Tootsie Rolls at this point.
For shame.
For shame.
For shame. Can't have that. Those are 3 tickets per.
Do you remember there was an arcade at Tanglewood Mall once upon a time?
I do know. I do remember.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Where we went and we like, I don't know. It was like a pinball machine or something, and there was like a button on the back that would, I forget what it did, but it allowed us to just basically print tickets.
So it was like a mall arcade, and which I don't even feel like these are necessarily like things anymore.
No.
But you know, it was exactly just like Chuck E. Cheese, except like the food court was over here, and then there was just like this dark place with like loud machines that are all bright and colorful and everything. And yeah, so we would go over, and you know, there was some game that had like a laser or something that like if you could just like wave your finger in front of, or maybe it was a button or something like that, but like you could like instant high score it over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And if anything, it almost became like a chore because you're like, all right, well, you know, we're racking up like 1,000 tickets, but this is taking forever, even though we're cheating.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But then the gag was, you know, so like we literally accumulated like 1,000 tickets, and you go over to the counter and the person's like, whoa. Like,
yeah,
you know,
no one's ever had this many tickets before ever.
Right. And so, but I remember the thing that we did was it was 1 ticket per 1 Tootsie Roll. And so we're like, can we have 1,000 Tootsie Rolls? And
I do remember this. It just came out of these just like giant bags of Tootsie. Yeah. I was like, I didn't count them.
Yeah. But like, that was the thing. Like, I was like it occurred to me. I was like, they probably, this is almost like trick or treating or something. Like if you needed to go up and like exchange a ticket to trick or treat, it's like, if you came up with 1,000 tickets at my house, I wouldn't even have 1,000 pieces of candy to give you.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like so impressed that they were so well stocked at this mall arcade that they were able to accommodate 1,000 Tootsie Rolls.
And like, then we had Tootsie Rolls forever.
We did. Yes. Yeah. Like way too many. That was, that was like one of those times as a kid. And I think you had this, maybe it was Swedish Fish, but like you get like way too much of it. And like, I would sit on my computer and play games, and I would just sit there and like pop these Tootsie Rolls like one after the other. And it's like, there becomes a real health issue when you've had too many Tootsie Rolls.
This is, I mean, it's a learning experience. It's one of those things. Like if you're brave enough to just give your kids all the candy candy they want, like, they'll just make themselves sick and then they'll just sort of be off it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Me and Allie, I feel like I've had a couple of these conversations here lately, like where just this past weekend, Addie really likes bubble water, which is basically like, you know, like seltzer, like LaCroix.
Like sparkling water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we have one of those little like ice pellet machines that makes like the really good crunchy ice or whatever.
Yeah, and we have that too.
And so Addie loves bubbly water and she loves the ice. And so like I'm sitting there and I was actually watching some of the games that were on TV over the weekend for fantasy football reasons, which mm-hmm. I believe I won. And you know, I'm sitting there like taking the whole experience in, and Addie is sitting there on the couch and I keep asking her to place it on the armrest, which is like a nice flat square surface. And instead she keeps wanting to put the cup with the ice, like just an open top glass cup with the ice on the couch next to her. And I'm like, Addie, put it on the armrest. And she's like no. And I'm like, Addie, it's gonna spill and you're gonna get wet and it's gonna be really cold. And it's just like one of these things where it was just like a battle that was just sort of like, I'm like, I'm just gonna watch this play out. And so she sets it down and sure enough it does spill,
right?
And she looks at me and goes, it spilled. And I'm like, I know that it spilled.
Yeah.
You know, but of course it's water. So, I mean, it's like, and it's leather. So, you know, I just went and like scooped it up and it was like, it was no big deal. It was easy to clean. But it was one of these moments where I was like, as a parent, I'm like, I could have picked this battle. I could have been like, Addison, put it on the armrest, like hard stop, you know, like foot is down voice, from inside out. But like for one, not really my parenting style. I don't really have it in me that much. If anything, there the moments that I do have to do that, Alice has to like look at me and be like, Ben, like,
step it up, man. Yeah,
you gonna say something? You're gonna do something? Okay.
Need some support here.
Yeah, Allie's the tough one for sure. Out of the two of us, but I was talking to Alice about it, and I was sort of like trying to unpack this experience of like what you're supposed to do, because it's one of these things where there is no substitute at times for experience. So like one of the things that I feel like I am mentally already attempting to prepare myself for is the inevitability of Addison sneaking out of the house when she's a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And it's like one of those things where it's like, I feel like at some point in time, she will do it.
Right.
She likely will get caught or get in trouble or something will happen. A phone call will come from like a friend's parent who's like, I just caught our kids out together, you know, like whatever.
Right.
And it's like one of those things where it's like, on some level, I don't like, I think she needs it. Like, I think that needs to happen like organically. Like, I can't just put the fear into her and make her feel like the consequences are going to be so massive as to like preventing her from like attempting things.
Right.
You know,
like I think back, I remember when, just being in high school and like going to friends' houses and it would be like, you know, it's sleepover and, you know, it's like midnight or something and their bedroom's in the basement and the basement has a door to the outside. And it's like, okay, let's go like, you know, meet up with other friends around the neighborhood or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, I remember just like going and doing that. And of course I didn't feel like I would be in trouble at all. Cause you know, it's not my house. Whatever, of course, let's go.
No big deal.
If I get caught, who cares?
You know?
You're the one who's going to be in trouble.
They're not going to yell at me.
Exactly. They're going to yell at me. You're a bad influence. You know? But I remember going out and doing that and just thinking that like, wow, it is like, you know, very, I can't believe one that your parents like don't even notice, or two that like, you know, you don't even like feel the risk of it or whatever, or like, I don't know, but like it, now I think back and I'm like, did his parents know and they just don't care? You know, clearly you're going outside or whatever, but like you don't have a car, so where are you gonna go? It's like, we know you're just meeting up with your other friends and you're just in the neighborhood and you're gonna come back. Because, you know, what are you going to, the parent know that if the kid doesn't come back by the morning, then they will be in trouble and they don't want to be in trouble.
Right.
And they don't want to be in trouble no matter what. So they're not actually going to do anything like wrong. It's just like, are they going to be out? Like what is, I mean, I don't know. I remember like setting off like bottle rockets or something. So I guess maybe that's like loud in the middle of the night. But like, is anyone hurt? No.
Right. You
know,
right.
Like, did they know or not is the question. And like, if they knew, was it just like, yeah, it's like, this is just, you know, it's fine. We trust them not to go like ruin their whole life running around the neighborhood at 2 a.m. on a Saturday.
Right. Yeah. And it almost to me at times feels like they did know. And this is almost like extended sort of like I don't even know what the right word for it would be, like, but it's sort of like allowing some amount of boundary testing inside of what is otherwise like largely a vacuum.
Right.
It's sort of like, it's like, okay, like there's not tremendous risk. Like, I don't think they're going to go and do something actively dangerous, but to them, the prospect of, you know, sneaking out or just simply doing something when you're not supposed to be doing it, like, has its underlying appeal. And yeah, it's like, sometimes that just ends up being enough. But, I mean, that's like, I think what was scrolling through my mind a lot over the weekend, just because of the silly little, you know, so Alice and I ended up talking about it like 3 or 4 times. Because there are instances like this, like where Addie will, you know, it becomes a force of wills, so to speak. And it's hard to know, like, at what point in time you're just being like extremely intense about some type of, like, you know, rule or detail or where you set your cup, that it's like eventually in life. Like, I do not think that Addie will get to be a 20-year-old person who sets cups on uneven surfaces. Like,
right,
I am not afraid that she is learning like a bad habit that will continue to be a bad habit forever and ever and ever. And like in this particular instance, it was like she experienced the outcome of the spill, which was ice cold water being doused all over her legs. It was,
right,
you know, like she wasn't harmed by it, but it was a negative experience, and she seemed to realize and like, right, recognize, like, oh, okay, I, you know what? You did tell me to put it somewhere else, and now I realize, okay. I mean, I'm probably giving a lot of credit to how much Addie processed this as a
well, good, I mean, know, I know, mean,
just barely over 2-year-old, but
I mean, yeah, did she like have a whole conversation with herself about the, you know, merits of listening to dad versus just like, you know, trusting your words versus having to experience herself? Probably not.
Right.
But like, there were natural consequences, and you're right, she probably like learned spilled drinks, not good.
Yeah.
And that's, that is always a tricky one. That's like, I've seen some parenting things where it's like, you know, you don't have to sit there and like force your kids to like eat food at the table just because you made it. It's like, you know, the thing you have to do is not let them get past dinner and then just give them something else.
Right.
If you want them to eat the food at the table, like, don't yell at them for not doing it. Just let them experience the hunger, because that is the natural consequence of not eating.
Exactly.
And it's like, yeah, you, the parent in the moment, it's like, you don't want your kids to be hungry. Like, I want them to be fed, but it's like, I also, it's like you can go for like one night of them experiencing mild hunger in the name of them eating food at the table for the rest of their life, you know.
Well, let me respond to that, because this is like one of the funniest things I think sometimes about me, is that like I am not a big eater. Like, we've talked about it plenty of, yeah, times. I sort of consume approximately the diet of a bird, you know, which is just like I tend to like leave. Like, it is not even uncommon as an adult for me to like not be able to like finish like an entree at a restaurant or something like that.
Yeah,
which is just sort of like an odd characteristic about me. I usually talk too much, and I think that my like digestive attention span like runs out of juice. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of like, oh, well, now you're not like, you've sort of like you're satiated, and now I don't want to be like over full, and so I just don't keep eating.
Right.
On the flip side of that, though, I do think like frequently if I'm ordering like Chinese takeout or something like that, I will sort of be like, okay, so like I want like my combination dinner. So like,
right,
the chicken and the rice or whatever. And it's like, ooh, but I also want a soup, and I should probably get like some spring rolls while I'm at it.
You,
and like,
you, for someone who does not eat a lot, you are one to like add extras to your order.
Yes.
In a like, usual thing. We were at dinner last night, and you came back with like an extra order of like fried pickles. And it was like, well, this is amazing. I'm so happy you did that, because I wasn't going to order them. But now that they're here, of course, I'll help myself.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
For
like,
the table.
Amazing. If you got it for the table, that's amazing. But it's like, it's surprising that you ordered them, because like, you ate like one. You know?
Yeah, I know. But this is like, so this is, I was thinking about this also over the weekend because of the fried pickles, where I was like, I wonder if something happened at some point in my life, because I don't have a distinct memory of like going to bed hungry or having that be like this thing where like, I was like, you know what? I always want to make sure that there's too much, because I'd rather have, you know, like too much and just eat accordingly than get to my last bite and be like, oh goodness, I could probably use another another one or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but you're right. Like it's like an, it is something I do. And the other thing I have no idea is like growing up, I think it was, I mean, family of five, a lot of people, like every time we went out to the restaurant. So
yeah.
It wasn't common for us to do like an appetizer.
Yeah.
And I think that there was probably this like allure to getting the appetizer that was always just so like, novel. And that has not worn off despite having been like able to go out and buy my own dinner for 15 years.
That has always been my interpretation of this behavior on
you.
Is that it was our parents' aversion to appetizers and desserts at restaurants.
Yes. Yeah.
Which the perceived aversion to such things. I don't know. Maybe we got them all the time, but you're right. When it was like, if we could get an appetizer, that was like, it was Christmas morning.
Right.
It's like,
right.
What do you mean? We're getting nachos? Oh my gosh.
For the table?
What? This is, we never get nachos. This is the best. We get food before food.
Right. You know? This is so awesome.
It's like, whereas.
I'm eating my chicken tenders now.
Exactly. I'm sure your parents, like, I'm sure if you're like, you know, like, yeah, even now, it's like, you know what? Of course I'm not getting you extra food. You don't even eat the hot dog we ordered for dinner. Why would I get you something beforehand, too?
Yeah.
It's like, no, the extra thing is way better than the dinner itself, obviously.
Of course. Yeah. So, I mean, that probably is a huge part of it. But, like, there are so many things, like on the flip side, like soda, for example. I've talked about this before. Like, I remember getting to college, sort of having, my grocery money that I would go and then, like, you know, buy, like soda with, because it was just sort of like, I can buy whatever I want, and I can buy the 12-packs, and I can stock my fridge, and just, like, whenever I want to go grab one, I'll go grab one. Like, no one here to tell me no.
Yeah.
And I quickly burned through that. It was sort of like, I like went through my college years and I was like all about it. And I got like 1 year out of college and I was like, this is too much.
It's like, too much. It's a lot of soda.
Which similarly, to the original point with candy, you know, it's like, if you let them overeat, like they're going to take it too far at some point in time, and they're not going to want candy anymore.
They don't want it.
And we always said this about our good buddy, John, where it was like, when you go to their house, it was like, there was just like bowls of candy and like delicious treats seemingly everywhere.
Yeah.
And I have no clue whether or not, because they none of those kids ever seemed to touch it. Ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but you would get there and you'd be like, man, bowl of Reese's. I will take one for certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never knew if this was like a parenting tactic, like that their parents figured out and they were like, you know what? Just have it be everywhere. And then they won't covet it. They won't want it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I've seen this as a parenting tactic that I desperately want. I like want to buy a new fridge just to employ this one tactic.
Oh, what you got?
But it is the snack drawer in the fridge.
Okay.
Where it's just like, you know, we have a bunch of snacks and stuff in the pantry that, like, I frequently have to tell my kids, like, no, you can't have that, whether it's, like, gummies or, like, granola, I don't know, chocolate bars disguised as granola bars or goldfish or pretzels or something, or, you know, potato chips, something I don't want to, I have to, like, I feel like I need to limit because, like, it's kind of junk food, too.
Yeah.
You know, but then I'll just see, like, I've seen this hack before. It's just, like, one, don't buy and don't make that available to them at all.
Right.
And instead just have a drawer in the fridge full of things that you are okay with them eating at any time of the day without your permission at all.
Right.
Like if at any point of the day you want to go grab a cheese or a fruit or anything from there, you don't need to ask. You can just go get it you want.
Pre-authorized. Okay. I like this idea. Yeah.
And it's just like, then it's like, you don't need you can just go get it. And I don't care because it's all good for you.
Right.
And then at the same time, all the other stuff isn't in the house too.
Right.
And it's like, it's not, because sometimes I'm like, it just like, if we just didn't have the gummies, it wouldn't be a problem. I wouldn't have to sit here and say no, because they wouldn't be on the table at all.
Right. No, that's a very good point. It's a very good point. Yeah. So, that becomes like the difficult between having like the fun, delicious treat that can be there for like special occasions versus like, you know, how available of them made it.
Right.
You know?
And so it's like, one, my fridge does not have said drawer on it. So there's that. And then there's like, oh yeah, but then you constantly have to stock that. And it's like, I guess you'd have to stock it, but I'm already stocking the pantry with stuff I don't want them eating.
I feel like you should just go get like a filing cabinet and just put like dad's special drawer on the front of it and like crude crayon drawing. And like, you can like open it up and inside of dad's special drawer is just all the available snacks.
Yeah.
I guess maybe you need them to be fridged. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I guess a lot of times the reason you need the fridge is because a lot of times the healthy snacks parents are more okay with are like things that need to be refrigerated.
Yeah.
Because it's like cheese or fruit or vegetables or something.
Yep.
And, you know, but I'll see people be like, there's like, yeah, they'll put like dipping sauces or like ranch packs or something in there. It's like, yeah, whatever. Have as much ranch as you want as long as you're dipping carrots in it. You know, right. I don't care.
Right.
You know.
So hilariously, there's been a, Alice was giving a ride home to her sister the other day who had like a bag of celery sticks just that she was like munching on throughout the day, I guess. And so she left them in Allie's car and it's been really cold, you know, for like at least a few days. So the celery sticks were like living in her car, and Addie like was getting super jazzed about the celery sticks.
Yeah.
So she would get in the car and she would have her celery stick and be just like happy as a clam.
Right.
And so, but yesterday, well, the past couple of days been like unseasonably very warm. And so we got out there and we're like, ooh, yeah, no, it's been too, like, they've been cold for like, you know, a couple of days while she had them. And then it's been a couple of days of warm weather and it's like, we can't give these to her.
These are no longer good.
But she's and she was so upset that we were like, Addie, you can't have the celery sticks. And I was like, I cannot believe that, like, probably one of the biggest battles we've had with her over a snack ever is celery, which ordinarily I'd be like, have as much as you want. You are burning calories while eating it. So this is a net zero on impact. So anyway, but yeah, I was like, I can't believe that like one of her most upset moments has been over celery.
That is pretty funny. Cause it's like, yeah, typically it's like most people would have to like fight with them. Just take a sniff of celery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why would you? I'm not a big celery fan myself. Like I actually don't even like it if I order like my wings and they've put celery inside of the box next to the carrots. I don't want the carrots. Carrots are fine. But I feel like the celery like affects the flavor of my wings. And I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Don't even put it near it.
I know that this chicken, I can tell it was close to celery.
No good. No gusta.
It leaves a stench. Yeah. Anyway,
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or
or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
All right, so let's see. Let's circle back to Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese. We're still there.
The party's still going, man.
I know.
So, I think I'm looking forward to a future where I've been to enough of these with enough of the same parents that, like, the kids know what's up and I don't need to monitor them.
Uh-huh.
And that I can, like, be, like, into the games with the other parents. Ooh. Where it's just like, oh, you guys ready? We're hitting the basketball hoops. Come on, let's go. You know?
I'm not going to lie to you. I desperately wanted to go and do the little basketball shooting game.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, and they had like a football toss as well. And I was like, if not for being in like max out parent mode right now,
exactly.
Where like, you know, I was like, all right, well, Addie, like, you know, what do you want to go and play? All right, let's go play that. Like, cause all these are brand new experiences for her.
Yeah.
I was like, but I'm like longingly like looking across the room, at like the basketballs rolling down for like these other dads and moms and stuff.
Who were
shooting. And it's just like, now that looks like a good time.
I know, dude. Okay. So one, in addition to Chuck E. Cheese on Saturday, we went to the Roanoke Starcade.
Yeah, okay,
on
so hilarious
Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. I have heard of the Starcade. It is associated with Center in the Square, where my aquariums are. So it's like,
yeah.
I've been in the building where the Starcade is like a million times, and I've never actually been to the Starcade.
I went to it and like. One, it is a comically long walk. It's like, follow the Starcade, you know, stickers and signs. And it's like, you keep thinking the next corner has got to be where it is. And it's not. It's like down the next hallway, then the next hallway, then a tiny staircase, then through those doors. And then you get in there and you're like, wow, this we must be at the far back of this building. And then it's like, okay, there's one more room. And then there's another room. And then there's another room. It's like, it's very big once you get there, but it's separated into a bunch of different rooms. Anyway, but in there, it is, I mean, if you're in the area, you've got to go to the Starcade because it is so fun. Like, you just, it's the same thing. It's almost like Chuck E. Cheese. There's no tickets or anything.
No tickets,
but you just pay to enter, and then all the arcade games are just free to play as much as you want, as long as you want, including things like skee ball and the basketball machine.
Oh, man. Oh, and then, you know what the good news is at this point in my life, I've had enough Tootsie Rolls forever.
Exactly.
I don't even want it. You could tell me that, Ben, you will never eat another Tootsie Roll again, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
No, I have no qualms.
Honestly. And what is so great about this particular formula is that, one, you're right, it takes off all that pressure of like, yeah, when you were 10 and you're like, I feel like I really need to ration out whether or not I'm aiming for tickets for prizes or just like gameplay. Cause like the gameplay is probably more fun, but the tickets will get me stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, one, none of that's even on the table. It's just there for the gameplay. Whatever you want to play is great. And this is what I immediately, like, me and Luke walked around and did a bunch of the different games and stuff. And eventually he found the skee ball machines. And, like, I was like, oh, this is, like, a secret weapon right here, the skee ball machine. It was like, because you can just play skee ball endlessly.
That's amazing.
You know? Yeah. And it's like one of those things where it's like, I was playing it and I was like, this is, like, filling a weird void in my mind where, like, I always meant to get really good at skee ball, but the opportunity is so sparse.
It's so sparse. And not to mention the ticket yield back in the day for skee ball was miserable. It was like you'd hit like 3 10,000s and it would be like 3 tickets and you're like, what would it have been if I gotten 30?
Right.
Like, you know, like, oh man, I think it was incorrectly programmed.
Yes.
But that is what I remember about skee ball. But I agree. I always wanted to play. Like, even as an adult, I have like investigated what it would cost to buy one.
Oh, exactly. And so I was sitting there playing it and I was like, this is so great because I mean, I probably played like 10 rounds of skee ball in a row.
Ugh.
And it's like, but in order to even like get good at skee ball, it meant you would have had to continuously drain tons of quarters into it just for like, you know, and then you get to play for like 10 minutes. And this was like, at some point in my life, I'm going to be like, I intend to come back here and to spend time on the skee ball machine because at some point in my life, it will come up that I will be with a group of other people and they'll be like, guys, let's bet, or, you know, let's play some skee ball. And it'll be like, oh, be prepared. You're about to get wrecked by, you guys don't understand. First of all, like quickly, and it's like very quickly, I don't know if this is true of every skee ball machine, but what I immediately figured out was that like, oh, the fourth ball is double points. So
I did not know that.
I know. Maybe this was just this machine or something.
Okay.
But it was like, oh, first of all, you can take advantage of at least one ball for sure. And then it was like, also quickly became apparent that like the top corner buckets for like the 10,000 points, like don't go for those just at all.
Okay. Because just too hard.
Too hard. Okay. And if you miss, you get like bottom points. Whereas if you miss going down the center for like the
500 or whatever.
Yeah. If it's like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, like if you miss going for the 5,000, you're still going to get 2,000.
Sure.
You know?
Okay.
So like miss to the center, don't miss to the side.
I see how the strategy is unfolding.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And it was like, okay. So I quickly was just like, okay, I now recognize what my average score is going to be. I'm like, I'm getting a feel for the balls. All right. This is like, I was like, this is amazing. I can sit here and play skee ball all day.
It amazes me how quickly your brain is able to like hack this type of stuff, yeah. Where it's just sort of like, all right, I'm getting the lay of the land. It's like, okay, I mean, it feels like skee ball is like a sport that basically is like whether, I mean, what it really comes down to, it seems like the most simple version of being good at it is simply how well is like your heft to toss ratio.
That's true. Yeah.
Like it's like it doesn't really feel like you would take that much else into it, but you've literally already unpacked other details of the game that like never even
occurred. Exactly. And it's like, and often that's all you need. And you're right though. It is like I immediately started going and it was like, okay, I can almost comfortably hit the 3,000 mark. And it was like, you know, if I was trying to go for the 4,000, I was like, it's considerable more heft to go just a little bit further.
Interesting.
And then to the 5, you really got to be going for it. And if with that much power, like the odds of going to the left or right a little really start ramping up.
You start to. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is, I'm sure I'm going to get it wrong now, but there is a scene in Name of the Wind where they're talking about like the weight of the Dracus. And if it falls from however many height, like it's going to fall so much harder because it's so much bigger. And so like, you know, the damage from falling from any height is worse. And quote, basically is like, oh, it's the square cube ratio is what she was describing, and she had no idea.
Right.
But so it's funny that you talk about like the extra heft required to go from like 3,000 to 4,000, because just this past week, Ethan, the editor for Super Carlin Brothers now, was talking to me about tungsten is this material. Have you seen any of like videos related to tungsten or
I
anything?
Did not. He was telling me about it and I looked up because I was like, because that's, it was basically its main feature was that it's heavier than it looks.
It is a remarkably dense metal.
Yeah.
And I think much more dense than lead.
Okay.
If that gives like any baseline to like work off of or anything, but it is it's like absolutely fascinating because, it is like, it's this like super, super hard metal. I think it like begins to rival diamonds or something like that, but it's also like, I don't know, useful in just a variety of different, like manufacturing,
sure,
machining type of purposes. But like when you can go online and buy a cube of it, and if you were to buy like a half inch by a half inch cube, I think it weighs like, you know, 0.23 pounds or something. And then if you go up to like a 1 inch cube, then it weighs like 2.2 pounds. And if you buy like a 3 inch cube, it's up to like 17 pounds or something like that. And then if you buy a 4 inch cube, it's like 42 pounds.
Whoa.
And so it's just like, it's unbelievable how adding 1 inch in every direction, like takes the weight to such a remarkable level. So
right.
if I mean, people may have seen it on TikTok or something, but if you just want to like YouTube search, like, oh my gosh, the metal, tungsten cubes, a 4 inch tungsten cube. It is so interesting to try to like watch somebody pick one up,
right?
Because it like breaks your brain.
Right.
You know, like, it's like,
what?
It's like, it can't be that heavy. How can that much weight exist in such small form factor? So like if you watch somebody, like I think there's that YouTube channel, like How Ridiculous,
yes,
where they drop stuff off the, yes, thing or whatever. It's just like, it's, I mean, they've done like bowling balls and like other, you know, interesting heavy objects, anvils and stuff like that. But then when they drop this thing, it's sort of like, what? Like, how could it be?
Yeah.
It like defies physics. But so the thing that I got really fascinated with though is I'm like looking at it and I'm trying to like understand it and like, you know, what it is like in terms of like a rare earth metal and like its value. And there's like a part of me that is like looking at it, because to buy the 4 inch cube, I think is $3,000 to $4,000.
Whoa.
You know, so it's like people buy them almost like a curiosity cabinet back in the day, like where you might go and like see just unique physical things.
Yeah.
This is like one of those like where like even at GoFest, I was thinking, you know, it would be such a fascinating thing to be like, okay, if you can pick up the cube with one hand from the top, you know, like without using any other hand, then you can win like a prize or something like that. Like such a fun thing to like allow people to come and
like, have you ever seen that like gold bar trick where it's like, if you can get this gold bar through this hole, you can keep it.
Dude, in my rock climbing days, there were moments where it was like, it is worth flying to wherever this is because my forearms are so strong right now.
The strength needed to get the leverage on the gold. Yeah.
I mean, like, people, I think, have won them.
People have won it. Yeah, it is doable, but it is like extremely difficult.
Yeah. So this is exactly like that. But then I'm looking at it and then I'm like curious because like, you know, a gold bar, the reason you want to go and win a gold bar is because it's then just remarkably valuable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is tungsten in this like weird space right now where it's like, it's like you could buy like a brick of gold, you know? It's like, is it like that? Where like 100 years from now, will tungsten be like the new gold? And I'm just like, whoa. Cause so much of me like wants to buy one, not the 4-inch one. That is absurd. But like so much of me was like looking at it and I'm just like staring at this like silver cube online. I'm like, gosh, I would really enjoy having this. Like I would put it on my desk.
And it would be there.
And it would, and occasionally, you know, the small group of people, occasionally somebody might want to come in and pick it up.
Right. Exactly. And that's what you're aiming for, Ben, that tiny shock value at some point.
This is
the skee ball thing. It's like, oh yeah, we're all just having a casual game of skee ball. Never mind that I'm like secretly amazing. Sorry, I want to put it like 50,000 points. What ass? I got lucky. Don't worry about it.
No big deal.
I'm not spending hours at the Starcade. Don't worry.
Yeah, right. I have a season pass.
It's good. Exactly. You don't need to worry about that.
Now I desperately want to look into skee ball like championships because there must be.
No doubt. Yeah, the people must be like professionally good at skee ball.
But what I want to know is whether or not they go for the upper, you know, the corner.
Oh
ones.
Yeah, like are they aiming for the corners?
Yeah, because it's like with bowling, for example, I know that like for people who are great at bowling, like you could watch them, you know, from across the way, from like a few lanes down or whatever. And I mean, they can throw strike after strike after strike after strike. And the big question is not necessarily like there, because to me, every time I roll a strike, I'm like, whoa, what a remarkable thing that just happened. Did you guys see that? But people who are good, it's like getting a strike is not difficult. And even getting like a perfect game, I think isn't unlikely for people who are quite good.
Yeah.
It's and what was explained to me at one point in time is that like when you're a pro bowler, you're playing three games. And so three frames or whatever of rounds bowling or whatever. And so I think the big score is whether or not you can clear 800 maybe, sure. I think is the big thing. So three perfect games would be 900 points. And so it's sort of like, the question is, can you roll 30 strikes in a row?
Right. And it's like having a 10 sided dice. And it's like, you can roll if you have like a 90% chance of getting a strike, like, you know, it's like if you had like a 10 sided dice, you'd be like, yeah, you're not likely to roll a 10.
Right.
You're more likely to roll a 1 through 9. But if you rolled it 36 times, do you think you'd never get the 10?
Right, exactly.
It's like, it's possible.
Right.
And most of the time you'll still get the strike, but all it takes is that one miss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. And so I think what I'd be curious about for people who do competitive like skee ball is whether or not those back and right, like whether or not it's worth the risk. Because it doesn't feel beyond the realm of possibility that people could get good enough to know the heft well enough to be able to consistently roll and just drop 10,000s.
Yeah.
But like it is so high risk, high reward.
Right.
That like because most of the time I suspect pro bowlers who don't get strikes don't throw a gutter ball.
Right.
I suspect
they're either picking up the spare.
Exactly.
Yeah, or.
Like, You need the multiplier with bowling in order to like really start to like build that score up.
Right.
So I think to me the big question or like is it that fourth roll where it's sort of like it's like no, people might go for it on the fourth. It's worth like wasting one, but if you get 40,000 or 20,000,
then you just won.
Yeah. It's like do that obviously, but anyway, yeah. So now I want to know more about competitive skee ball.
I know. I want to know if there's always like a 2-time multipliers ball. Is that standard or was this just the machine I was on?
Right.
I don't know. But yeah, so I had fun doing the skee ball. But speaking of picking up on things quickly.
Okay.
I'm going to circle back one more time to Chuck E. Cheese because we're about at the end here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm sure you remember, Ben, as when we were kids, whenever I think around middle school time, they would, you know, introduce, here's the fundraiser we're going to be doing this year. You know, you got to go door to door and sell wrapping paper or whatever.
Yep.
And there was the way they would get you hyped to do it is they would bring like the money machine or the cash box or whatever. And it was basically just this giant
like a telephone box.
Like a telephone box made out of clear plastic with a leaf blower attached to the back.
Yep.
And they would have filled that thing with just, you know, a ton of dollar bills, maybe a couple of fives in there or 20s or whatever.
Yep.
And then you just let someone in there for 30 seconds, turn on the leaf blower, and whatever you can catch, you can keep.
Right.
You know? And they would always bring, you know, one, you know, there'd be like the whole school would be assembled to watch your little thing and they tell you all the things and here's the things you can win. But like the finale would be that someone was going to get to go down there that day and like, you know, go catch the cash or whatever. And it was like the idea of getting to be in that box when you're in middle school and have just no money at all. And it's like, oh my God, I can keep as much cash as I can catch. Best day of my life.
I was like, I mean, there's no way in the world I don't walk away with at least like $53.
I know, right? Probably even $1,000 or like $1,000,000 or something. Who knows? Yeah. You know?
I bet they have $1,000,000 inside of that thing.
Yeah, like they're willing. Yeah, that's the thing. Like it doesn't occur to you as a kid that like they're not going to lose money on this.
Right,
you
know? Right. Yeah.
It's just single dollar bills in there.
You know? Right. Yeah. 300 $1 bills is still plenty of bills for the effect. And chances are the entire fundraiser for the school and all the kids hoping to get to go in there raises just so far and away beyond that 300.
So much more than that.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, there would be like the fundraiser and I remember watching the kids who actually like sold enough to get in there. There'd be like three kids or something.
Right.
And I would always be so disappointed. I was like so excited. Like, how much are they going to get? Like, oh my gosh, this is going to be like life-changing money or something.
Right.
And they walk out with like $32 or something. Like maybe if they were really good at it or something.
Right.
Yeah. And it was like, man, that just doesn't seem like, even as a kid, I was like, that doesn't seem like as much as I thought.
Right.
I figured it'd be at least a few hundred, you know.
It's not even a Game Boy game.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, what do you get with that? Like, was it worth it? But so anyway, all of that to say, at Chuck E. Cheese, if you are there and you are the birthday boy or the birthday girl or whatever, they have the money machine, but it's filled with tickets.
Yes. Yeah.
Or I guess they don't have physical tickets like they used to that like come out of the machine anymore. It all just gets loaded onto your card. But they've got just the bunches of like pieces of paper with ticket values written on them that will fly around the machine.
Right.
And you catch as many as you can. And then, you know, you, the birthday boy, gets that many tickets added to your account or whatever. But because a lot of the kids there are very little and they want them to get, I guess, something, or maybe they're just scared because everyone's watching too. So I can see where if you're like a 5-year-old, everyone's like, ah.
I think even in middle school, like as much as I wanted to do it, I always like had like an anxiety inside of me about like people like watching me and being like, what is he doing? Why isn't he doing the obvious technique?
Yeah.
You know,
like, what's the matter?
Very high pressure.
Throw it in your shirt, throw it in your pocket, grab the ones on the floor.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever it is. So we get in the machine. So they're letting Luke go in and they're like, okay. And like, mom or dad, you can go in with him. And Luke's like, daddy. So I'm like, all right. And like, I had no idea I was going to get to go in the machine at all. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, my time is here.
It's happening.
My middle school self is like beaming. Like, oh my God, I'm in the machine too.
Right. Oh,
this is
best.
So exciting. Like Luke, this is great for you, but you know what? This is great for me too. I'm really living this up.
It's a big day for dad.
It's a big day for dad. Okay. Yeah. I get to be in the cash machine right now. This is going to be amazing. And so you get in there and like, we watched another kid. There was like another father son duo in there before us. And you know, they did all right, whatever.
Pick up some notes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What's going to work?
Yeah. What's going to get some technique here. And so we get in there and I'm like, you know, of course the things are just flying around. If you ever tried to catch, you know, a leaf falling out of the air, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. Very tricky. Yeah.
But so what I did, like quickly discovered the technique was to like lean over and create as much surface area as I could for anything flying upwards to run into.
Okay.
So I'm just sitting there, palms out, arms out, and stuff is just landing on my chest and I'm just like grabbing it as fast as I can and like just, you know, going there. And the 30 seconds goes by and I've collected a bunch and Luke has picked up a few things here and there, but we hand the stack to the girl and her eyes go like wide. She's like, oh my God, you got a lot. Like, I was like, what, really? Like, did we do good? And they came back and they were like, this is the most tickets anyone has ever gotten out of the machine. I was like, you could not have given me better news right now. I didn't even know I was going for a high score and I got it.
Yeah,
what?
Right. Yeah. Oh my. So the moment came and the moment went as well as it could have.
We got like 815 tickets out of the machine.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is so amazing.
I think I'm going to give Luke's, I caught a majority of the most amount of tickets, but I think Luke personally grabbed the big money ticket, like the 500.
Oh,
but like, God, so yeah, which counted for a lot. So good for Luke on that point. But the, when we handed them the stack, you could tell this was more tickets than they were accustomed to receiving. To seeing, so I think just sheer number of papers grabbed from the machine was higher than usual.
Incredible.
As well. So I was like, man, that was wow.
There was literally nothing that surprised me less than when mom walked over to me and was like, yeah, Jonathan just got the high score for the ticket booth. I was like, of course he did.
Yeah. That was really fun.
Did he know at second 17, every slip you grab is worth triple or something? Like, no,
but I will pass that on. If you're ever the person in the machine with your child, lean forward, just create as much surface area as you can and just grab them off your chest or your hands or wherever they fly.
Okay.
That's the trick. That's my trick that I'll give to you so that you can go buy stuff off the prize wall.
Now I feel like we're just going to have to host every birthday for our kids at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, now the pressure's on.
Now it's like one of these things where it's like now it becomes like a family tradition. It's like Luke or Nick or Nate or Addie or whatever. It's like, you know, like their 22nd birthday. And it's like, are we seriously going to Chuck E. Cheese again? I'm like, yes, we are.
Yeah, come on.
Birthday girl, let's get excited.
Get in the machine. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah. Like wearing like reverse duct tape on your arms. Yeah, or something. Like, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Uncle Jay and I have a
system.
Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. You're going to be able to finally get that basketball.
That's the thing. You get to the prize wall and the prizes are like so bad.
Yeah.
You
know,
like when you're a kid, you're looking up, you're like, God, if only I had 6,000 tickets, I could get that. What? I don't even know that VCR or something.
Right. It's like, why do they still have a VCR?
Exactly.
Nobody's ever won it.
I know. Yeah. So the prizes are not great. Even with our bounty, they give you the wall. They're like, anything from this point over and down and anything in the counter. And it's like, what Luke ultimately got was like this little, like, the big thing he was able to get was like a magic kit.
Okay.
For like kids, like sleight of hand stuff, which we did go home and do. And, you know, we figured a few of them out and it was fun.
That's
cool. It's like, I'm like just staring at it. And I'm like, you got to make sure you keep everything in the box. If you lose like a piece of a trick, it's not going to work anymore.
That's it.
You know? And it's like, it's hard to like convey that, like, because he's like really into Harry Potter right now. So I think, you know, the idea of doing magic is great, but it's like, what you have to understand is that like real magic is just lying to people. You know, like the point, it's all, you know, it's like, how do you convey that it's like all showmanship and it's all like, oh, this is how it works. So you know how it does it, but it's going to look like this to the audience, or like, it's, you know, it's I don't know. It's like very tricky to explain sleight of hand to a 6-year-old.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, I know. But like, was it not the case when you were in like third or fourth grade or something, still a little older than Luke, but you did like a magic show as like your talent.
Yeah. It was in second grade. Yeah.
Second grade.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's not far off.
He's not far off. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, so he could follow in the old man's footsteps.
He could, you know, he could be a little magician down there doing some stuff. Yeah. There was one that was pretty easy. It was just like this little slot and, you know, you like put a coin on it and then you slide it in the other thing and the coin disappears and it's like, what happened? I was able to teach him that one pretty quickly and like show him like, then you just spin this thing and then it'll push the coin and it's really, and he was like, oh, okay. And then he got that one and that one was fun.
Okay.
But like some of them, it's like, it requires a bit of like dexterity along, you know, to like do the thing as well.
Yeah. I think that's like one of the things that's like kind of like, like taking me away from trying to learn any of like the sleight of hand magic is like, it does feel like you have to be like good at stuff like that. And I'm like, can I do this? Like, I mean, maybe I should just put my mind to it and it'd be okay. But like, it's never felt like as attainable. Like even like when I watch people do like the bridge, like when they're like doing like a deck of cards and stuff like that, I can't really do like the flip up shuffly thing where it all falls magically back into place or whatever. So I'm like, I'm probably not going to be like Uncle Card Tricks over here.
Uncle Card Tricks. I think my problem anytime I've like, Like even as I was going through this, I was like, okay, I see. Like, oh, okay, I see how it works. That's pretty clever. This is pretty fun. Like even when I'm showing it to my 6-year old who has no idea how magic works or right. whatever, like yeah. or you know, is like a prime target for being fooled by this deception. I'm like, it's so obvious how I'm doing it. Like, you know, like I don't believe the trick is working.
Right, to me,
there's no way, because I know how it works. There's no way I could possibly show it to someone and fool them, because they'll just immediately be on to me.
Right.
You know, and I'm like that. That's what gets in my way when I'm like, no, people will absolutely fall for magic.
Right. Yeah. They just don't know. Yeah.
That's the cool thing about magic that I like is that like people intrinsically know it's not real. They're like, they know they're being lied to, and like, they like want to be tricked.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this weird relationship between like the viewing audience and the trick that's happening. It's like, you don't like, part of you wants to know how it's done, but like you also don't.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, it's like it's just like I think the wonderment is really like what makes it like so overall enjoyable. It's just sort of like, it's like you want to know, but you don't want to know.
Right.
Because it's like you, like what's fun is the small amount of time that you might sit there and be like, how did he do it? Where did the ball go?
The
ball like go into the other ball? It's like a special like ball that has like an opening, but yeah, you can't really see the opening. And
yeah,
you know,
it's like, yeah, I feel like so often I'll watch, and whenever I see magic, I'm like, the only way for that to have worked is if they like, you know, did this and did that, and there was like a string back there or something. It's like, and there's just no way they like did all that. And it's like, they did. That is how they did it.
That is
it.
You
can't believe the lengths they went to trick you, or it's like that couldn't have done that. And then let's say like stacked the deck before the trick started or something. It's like, of course they stacked the deck.
like this is how the show works. Yeah.
Like, no, it was not a legit deck of cards. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I remember when we were kids, there was a magician coming to town, and dad being like, you know, the local celebrity that he was like supposed to be like up on stage to be like sawed in half.
Yeah.
And I do remember, like, I think he was driving me to school one morning, and I was like, dad, are you nervous about being sawed in half? And he goes, I'm not gonna lie, I am a little nervous about it. And then I was really nervous about it. Like, I was like, wait, no, really? Like, even as a kid, it was sort of like, I was like, I knew it was magic, and I knew it like wasn't like, you know, like real, but I was like, but it'll still be on stage, there still will be a saw, and he still will be taken apart. And it's like, what if something goes wrong,
right?
Like, you know, and like when dad expressed his own worry, which maybe he was just like being a dad and just being like, a little bit. My worrisome mind was then just like, oh, this is gonna go terribly. And then I think dad was like late for some reason, so I think that they were like literally like waiting to do like the grand reveal until like dad got there, and he like the news ran long, or traffic from Roanoke to Rocky Mount or something like that. And so like it was one of these things where, like, I'm just sitting there and just like paralyzing like anxiety and worry, just being like, what is gonna happen, dad, get here already. I need to either see if it works or doesn't work, because I can't have my dad sawed in half in front of all these people, or at all. Oh man. So anyway, he ended up being fine. I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to remember if he even actually ended up getting on stage for it. He may have just been too late, and it just, they saw someone else.
I don't know. Some other poor soul. Yeah, some of the poor souls, just half a person now. Yeah. Walking around like, what happened to you? I was like, magic trick went wrong.
Oh man, the things that concerned me as a kid. I'm trying to think of something happened over the week. Oh, it was, so we were at we went to this like Christmas light walkthrough thing last night, and before we go in to do it, there is a like a little tavern or whatever, and you had brought up like a carbonated drink for Luke to have with dinner, and he like sort of was like, look, I've got it, and he like did like, you know, like tilted it back and forward a few like times.
Shook it.
Yeah, and you were like, oh no, Luke, you can't do that, like, or else it'll explode. And literally I went back into like child brain, and I was like, Jay, what he just heard was explode,
like atomic bomb.
Right. And like these were the things that people would say to me as a kid, where they're like, oh, you gotta be careful, otherwise it'll explode. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
right? Yeah,
like, really?
Like, it is, dude. I remember once upon a time, and I don't know what the ramifications of doing this are at all, but like, I remember we just had some like batteries, and we were down at the creek or something, and one of my friends was like, you can't put batteries in water, it'll like explode or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, I was like, no, it won't. You know? And I remember like going to drop and him like grabbing my wrist, like, do not do that, like, it's going to explode or something. And I was like, I remember just eventually dropping the batteries in the water to zero effect at all.
Oh yeah. No, yeah.
I mean, sure. Like, Nothing happened. It was like, I don't know, but it's like the fear in their mind was like, so real.
Yes.
That like, yeah. You know, if you drop this AA in the water, like I know we put these in like all sorts of electronics everywhere, but like the how close we are playing with fire. If water touches that, it's the end, you know? Right.
Well, and I mean, this is again, you know, it's like, it goes back to like Addy, like spilling the cup of water type thing. It's like, yeah. It's like you can, it's like, and I can't tell because I was clearly just so ridiculously oversensitive to all of this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like even going like watching fireworks, I remember like it used to be the case that like, you know, you'd go for the 4th of July, there'd be fireworks exploding overhead. And like at some point somebody explained to me that like, you know, bits of the, of like the paper that were wrapped around the firework itself might like kind of trickle down over the people.
Yeah.
But like in my mind, there was like shards of metal falling from the sky. And I was right. Like, I can't believe like people will be hit tonight by falling firework explosion
debris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, is everybody just okay thinking it's going to hit somebody else? Because it's going to hit someone.
Right.
You know? And it's like, no, it's like, it's paper falling out of the sky. It's like, it's just,
right,
like, you know, it's completely,
it's paper falling out of the sky. And also like there's this grand illusion with fireworks that they're like right above your head when they are like very far away.
Yes. Yeah. I remember seeing like Disney fireworks from like a different perspective once upon a time, and it's like 2 miles behind the castle or something like
right,
that. But
yeah.
It's like when you're watching it, you're like, oh, there's like somebody like if you go over the castle, like right there, just lighting them on the ground.
Right.
You know, and it's like,
yeah, it's like
no, they're very far away.
Yeah. Like yeah. The odds of you being hit by the paper are just, you're not going to.
Yeah.
Like they're so far away from you. Although I do remember coming home one time, like one of the shards had fallen next to me, and I like brought it home, and it was like, this was like such a prize thing. I got a piece of the firework
from this is like, 4th of July.
Fourth of July. Yeah. When
Disney.
We were kids.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 4th of July as kids at the high school where they're not as far away from you. They're just sort of like behind the stadium.
Right.
But
right.
Yes, I remember thinking it was like, oh my God, what a prized possession. I have a charred piece of firework.
Right. You know? Right. Well, that's yeah. So, and like, of course, mom and dad, what they're attempting to instill into us is that like fireworks can be dangerous and we can't go and play with things that like, you know, shoot off sparks and stuff like that. But like what was translating to me was that every single night the 4th of July happened, somebody who was involved with the setting off of the fireworks was being carted off in an ambulance due to like severe burns or something right. like that, which yeah. I mean, certainly, you know, obviously like fireworks can be and you know, can be dangerous if you're not yeah. careful about like how to handle them and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I don't think it was to the extent that I thought that it was.
Right.
Like I was imagining really dark and bad things happening.
Right. Like it's going to be raining fire on people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've just got to.
You just had like a worst case scenario brain like your whole life.
My
basically.
Whole life. It was just pretty much built into me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we went long. So guys, as ever, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. As ever, if you got any feedback for us about any of the various things, be sure to shoot it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Tell us all your ski ball strategies,
whether or not we should invest in tungsten, mm-hmm. possibly and probably.
Yep.
Yeah. Any good stories that you got for us, you can shoot them over to popcornculturepod.com at gmail.com rather. Also, if you would like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. We've got a variety of tiers, including after the final pop, which is just an extra like 15-ish, 20 minutes of Jay and I talking after each week's episode. It's always a lot of fun. And if you sign up even just for a single month, you get access to the entire back catalog that month. So if you're like, man, I caught up on popcorn culture and now I want more to listen to, it's a great way to get access to just a whole bunch more of things that Jay and I didn't talk about in the main episodes. But otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.